Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. Our Sunday worship is on site and online at 9:30 a.m., and you can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcast platforms. This week, Pastor Caressa continues our series, Christ Encounters of the Risen Kind, with a sermon titled, The Great Commission and Ascension. The scripture comes from Matthew 28:16-20, and is read by Nancy Fonts.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 21. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, Mark Iaconelli, in his book Downtime, tells the story of Ari, a young girl who, with her mother, lives at the edge of the city dump in Guatemala. Every morning, Ari and her mother, along with hundreds of other people, sort through the trash looking for anything that they can eat, they can use for clothing, or that they can refurbish or sell. Now, when Ari was 10 years old, her mother wanted to enroll her in public school to try to give her a better life. I mean, imagine you as a 10-year-old and your mother are in this desperate situation, and along with hundreds of other people are living at the very edge of the city dump in Guatemala City, and your daily task is searching through trash just to survive. So, of course, her mother wanted to give her a better life, and so at the age of 10, she enrolled her in public school. Now, this took a lot of convincing because Ari had never been in school. She had never been a part of anything like it, and so it took a lot of courage for her to even step through the doors. And so she did, and on that first day, another student told everybody else in the class that Ari lived at the dump and then called her a word that meant trash. And for the rest of the day, the kids in that class taunted Ari, calling her trash and garbage girl. And that night, Ari cried to her mother and told her she no longer wanted to go to school. Now, we may not have been called trash, but many of us know what it feels like to be called a name, to be ridiculed, to be humiliated. We have experienced people judging us, and oftentimes it's for things that we can't control. Our height, our weight, and numerous other things. And we too, like Ari, have experienced the exclusion, the shame, the hurt, the pain of other people's words and actions. And unfortunately, it doesn't just happen out there. Unfortunately, it happens in the church too. I was looking through several reports and articles, and the recent statistics gave a list of 17 reasons why people no longer want to go to church. And here's a few of those. Church people are judgmental. They look down on others, saying they are not good enough or holy enough. Well, I got news for you. We're all sinners. None of us are good enough or holy enough, right? Church people misbehave and hurt others with their words or actions. Or they say one thing and do another. You've probably met one of those people we call a hypocritical Christian. And in fact, it doesn't just happen to adults. It happens at every single age. I've even seen it on the ball field. Your teammate walks up, makes a sign of the cross before she enters into the batter's box or draws it in the sand. And that same person a few minutes later makes fun of a young girl with one arm playing a game of softball that no one told her she could ever play. At every age, it happens. And unfortunately, for the most part, churches are not inclusive or accepting of people of various colors and ages and abilities and backgrounds and sexual orientations and lifestyles. And if you think about these statistics, it's hard to blame the people for not wanting to go to church. For aren't we supposed to be people of hospitality and love and grace and acceptance? And as I read these statistics, the first thought I had was, well, they need to come to New Hope because we're very different than anybody else. Right? We are one of the most open, inclusive, affirming churches in Douglas County. Amen? And that's the best kept secret that we need to be out proclaiming. Because we do believe in the open table. We do believe in putting people first. We do believe that you are loved and accepted for just who you are and you belong here. Amen? But not a lot of people out there are experiencing that. And whether they are in church or it's somewhere out there, people, maybe even including you, have experienced that hurt or that judgment or that exclusion. And it's hard to trust after that, isn't it? It's hard to put yourself back out there. It's hard to try to step into a situation that is very similar to the one you experienced before. Well, for 3 long years, Ari, alongside her mother, continued day after day after day to go to the dump and to sort through the trash just so they would have enough to survive. And then one day, as Ari and her mother were walking onto the dump, a group of teenagers came up and started walking alongside them. They didn't know who these people were, but they were kind and they were generous and they wanted to know her name. They wanted to hear about her life and about her struggles. And then it turns out that this group of teenagers was part of a brand new Guatemalan Christian school that was opening up just a little bit down the road from where these people lived at the dump. And they invited Ari. They said, come to our youth gathering. You'll love it. People are friendly there. But what do you think Ari was thinking? She said no. She refused their invitation before she feared that it would just be a replay of what she'd experienced in that public school. She didn't want to go through that. It wasn't worth it. And to Ari's surprise, the very next day, those teenagers came back and they invited her again. But she declined for fear that it would just be a similar ridicule and humiliation. Each week, for the next 6 months, these teenagers returned to the dump to see Ari, to talk with her. They worked and dug through the trash right beside her. And every single time they invited her to come to their school, to not only visit, but to attend the school, to be their friend, to be welcomed into this better environment. But every time, Ari refused. You know, fear and doubt, bad experiences, trauma can prevent us from venturing back out. We can allow that fear to paralyze us, that doubt, those bad experiences that we've had before keep us hidden, keep us afraid to step out into a new or a different situation, to put our heart out there, to be vulnerable, to trust. And friends, we see that with the disciples. For weeks, they hid behind locked doors out of fear, fear that they would be the next person to be arrested, beaten, and crucified. And even after they had seen the risen Christ, remember, Christ appears to them behind those locked doors, they still doubted, and they allowed that doubt to paralyze them. And today, in our reading from Matthew 28, we see that they finally ventured out. They go to this mountain in Galilee where Jesus had told them to go. And even when they see the risen Jesus right before them, they worshiped. But then what was that second part? They worshiped, but they also doubted. This moment of amazement and joy was mixed with doubt and confusion. Thrilled and overjoyed at the possibility that Jesus is alive, that he really did rise from the dead, at the same time feeling bewildered, confused, perplexed, not sure that they want to step back out. I mean, Jesus being risen and appearing before us on this mountain, just like he told us he would, it could mean amazing things, things that we've never conceived of. But at the same time, it was risky, venturing out into the unknown. They were flooded with doubt and fear, with uncertainty, with hesitation. And it was there on that mountain, amid this mixture of emotions, that Jesus tells them to go. Go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them everything that I have taught you and showed you. But that first word, go, is intimidating. It's risky. It's fear-provoking. Go. Go from everything that you know. Go out into the wild unknown. Go without a destination. Just go. Not only was it risky, not only would they be put in this vulnerable situation, but they had a hard time comprehending that Jesus was now giving them his mission. It was up to them now to go and to spread the good news. Jesus was going to go up into heaven to be with God, and it was left up to them. That word go is interesting. In the original Greek language, what Jesus is saying is, as you are going, as you are going, I want you to teach and baptize and empower new disciples. As you are going about your daily lives, as you travel about, as you go up and down the aisles of King Super, as you are going about your work and your school or even to the city dump, I want you to meet new people and build relationships. And then I want you to look for opportunities to share, to love, to invite, and to journey alongside. The teenagers who went to the city dump did just that. They went out, and as they were going, they worked alongside the people to help provide for their needs. As they were going, they kindled friendships and sparked conversations. And as they were going, they took the courage to even say hello and to go back week after week, extending invitation after invitation. You see, at the heart of their call, of their purpose, is they wanted to share God's love and the grace of Jesus with people like Ari. They wanted Ari to know that their school, their community was different, that she would be accepted and included and affirmed. They wanted Ari to experience what they had experienced. Well, one day while the teenagers were talking and working alongside Ari, one of the teachers mentioned again, please, I want you to come to our youth gathering tonight. In fact, there's going to be food. Now, if you're Presbyterian, that is always a green flag to go because there's food, right? Well, for Ari, she had almost forgotten what fresh food tasted like. And at the same time, she had pains of hunger, for she had not eaten in 3 days. But if she went, she could be susceptible to this ridicule, this humiliation, this name-calling. They could call her trash girl or something worse. But at the same time, if she went, there would be food and maybe a new chance at life. Amid her fear, her doubt, and even in the hope, Ari found the courage to take the next step. So as Ari entered the school that evening, she quickly made her way to a table full of pastries and sandwiches and fruit. And she tried her best to eat discreetly. And while she was eating, she was putting food into her pockets of her clothing to take back to her mother. And then once her belly was full, she was able to take a deep breath. And she looked up from the table, and she started to get a sense, a feel for this environment, for the people that were mixing around and talking with each other. It wasn't like the school she had been at before. The people were nice. They were welcoming. They even gave her a tour of the school. She got to visit other students, listen to music, and play games. And when the evening ended, she realized that her face felt strange, for she had been smiling, something that she rarely did in her daily life. She had been loved and accepted, and she realized that the whole time she was there, every one of those people called her by her name, Ari. It was there in the breaking of the bread, in sharing simple foods of pastries and sandwiches and fruit, that Ari's eyes were open to a community of love, acceptance, inclusion. Her ears were no longer saturated by the trash girl and the taunts of garbage girl. They were now full of hearing her own name in a loving and affirming way. Ari's heart received the hospitality, kindness, love of these young people, and her life was enriched by the presence of Christ through the hands and feet, the heart and voice of these young disciples. Friends, it was there at the dump that Ari encountered the risen Christ. Jesus was there alongside Ari digging through that trash. Jesus was there week after week for 6 months, working alongside, befriending her, learning her name and her story, and inviting her time and time again to come into a community that loves and cherishes you. And it was there, on an ordinary day, amid the task of sorting trash, that Ari's filled hopes and dreams for fear and doubt were resurrected to new possibilities. Today, Ari lives in an apartment in Guatemala City with her mother. Ari was able to earn a college degree and works as a court reporter. And on the weekends, Ari returns to the trash heaps of Guatemala City, befriending the children and young people who still live there, inviting them to attend the same Christian school that changed her life. Friends, this June, our youth are going on a mission trip to be the hands and feet of Christ. And as they are going to Niagara Falls, as they work together and serve others, I pray that they look for opportunities to share, to love, to include and invite. And even though they may have fears and doubts, there is courage and hope. For Jesus says, I am always with you. And friends, as we are going, as we go about our daily lives, may we too look for opportunities to show the love of God and share the good news of Jesus. And it will take numerous invitations. It will take numerous interactions. It will take us sticking ourselves out there. But isn't that what we're called to do? Isn't that who we are called to be? The hands and feet, the heart and voice of Christ in this community? Friends, it starts with you, and it starts with me. It starts with you and your invitation, with you reaching out, with you sparking that conversation, even amid your hesitation and fear and doubt. It starts with you living out this great commission as you work and journey alongside others. It starts with you embodying a loving, open, inclusive, and accepting presence of Christ. May we be empowered to do so through the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father and the Son. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. If you want to know more about New Hope, you can subscribe to our weekly email newsletter, The Midweek Memo, by going to our website and signing up. Friends, may you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and may you go and love your neighbor as yourself. Go in peace.